I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is The Drive at 5. 30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli.
Cancel culture is everywhere, rearing its ugly head. We just can't seem to get away from it. Donald Trump attends a funeral for a fallen police officer because he was invited, while Joe Biden ties up traffic in Manhattan to party with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 and on X at Rich Zeoli. I'm very excited to welcome to the show Dr. Martin Kulldorff, former professor of medicine at Harvard University and Mass General Brigham. He is the founding fellow for the Academy for Science and Freedom and a co-author of the great Barrington Declaration, the new editorial, Harvard Tramples the Truth When It Comes to Debating COVID Lockdowns. Veritas wasn't the university's guiding principle. Dr. Kulldorff, it's an honor to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Wonderful. Excellent. So, first of all, tell us what the Great Barrington Declaration is, in case anyone doesn't know.
Well, when the pandemic hit 4 years ago, people threw out the basic principles of public health. You can't just focus on one disease. So we argue that since there's a huge difference in mortality risk between the young and the old for COVID, we should have done a better job protecting older people because they're higher risk, but we should have let children go to schools. We should have not locked down, let stores be open, churches be open, cultural events go about, and let people be out and about.
And that makes sense. I mean, now, years later, the results prove that that was correct. So why are you no longer a professor of medicine at Harvard?
Yeah, you're right, because Sweden was the major Western country that did not lock down, and it has the lowest excess mortality during the pandemic of all major Western countries. Now, with respect to Harvard, there was a disagreement about a very basic scientific things we had known about for 2,500 years, and that's infection-acquired immunity or natural immunity. If you have recovered from a disease, you have excellent immunity that is better than the immunity you get from a vaccine. And there were people at Harvard, including some famous professors, who were questioning the existence of that, even though we now know, of course, that there were those immunities. So I had COVID before. There was no reason for me to take the vaccine, and they fired me.
They fired you because you would not take the vaccine, and you are a professor of medicine. You had valid reasons. You had all the evidence backing you, and they still fired you.
Yes, and not only had I had COVID, I have an immune deficiency, so that makes it extra risky for me to take a vaccine than for most people. At the same time, as I was at a higher risk from COVID than most other faculty members. So,
you know, Dr. Kulldorff, if you were speaking out against lockdowns, you were one of the few people back then, and I mean now, you know, everybody's saying it, but back then in 2020, your op-ed on school closures in Sweden was published by CNN, but not the one you're thinking of. You wrote it in Spanish, and CNN Espanol ran it. They didn't run it on English CNN. So that right there tells you a lot.
Yeah, I figure since I know Spanish, I might as well use that knowledge and try to publish it in Spanish since I couldn't publish it in English.
So when you were speaking out back then, and again, this is 2020, so you're speaking out and you know now you were prophetic. I mean, all the research is showing that you were correct. But at the time, what were people saying about you?
Well, when the Great Brain Stimulators came out, the head of the NIH, Francis Collins, he called us fringe ethnologists. And this is me writing it together with Professor Jay Bhattacharya from Stanford and Professor Smita Gupta from Oxford, who is the preeminent infectious disease ethnologist in the world. So he called us fringe ethnologists and then asked for a devastating takedown. What he should have done was to suggest that we have a discussion and debate, which could be passionate, but it should be polite, and then gather some people who are either in favor of focused protections, like we were and are still, and those who are favoring lockdowns and school closures. Have that discussion. That's what he should have done. Instead, he wanted to close down the debate.
But no debate. But isn't science all about debating to find the truth, and you have to test theories?
Well, it was until 2019. That's for sure.
Yeah, and then COVID changed.
But it hasn't been the last 4 years, and the scientific community cannot survive without having open, frank, passionate discussions between different scientists.
And I think it's important for people to know, I mean, as part of the Great Barrington Declaration, you and your colleagues, I mean, you had specific suggestions for how better to protect the elderly, for example, and why children and young adults should live normal lives. I mean, it wasn't like you were looking to kill people. You had good intentions here.
Yeah, well, the evidence from Sweden was that it was perfectly fine to keep kids in school because they were in school all of that spring of 2020. And among the 1.8 million children, there was zero COVID death and only a handful of hospitalizations. At the same time, we could have done a lot more to protect older people. For example, people in nursing homes were at the highest risk, and we could have reduced staff rotation there and not have so, because if each patient in the nursing home, if they are exposed to 10 different staff members every week, they are more likely to be infected than if there's only five. So we should have less staff rotation. We should have more testing. That's something that Scott Atlas was fighting very hard for, actually eventually successfully, to increase the amount of testing in nursing home, even though we were wasting tests on the university campus, which was a complete waste of time and money and resources. We should also have a better system for not mixing generations as much. So, for example, when they close the university, sending students home. So instead of infecting their friends, who are also young and at minuscule risk, they will not go home and maybe infect their parents, older parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles. That was not a very smart thing to do. It was very bad for public health to do that.
Right. Yeah. Right. No, I mean, absolutely. And we saw the results of that with all the deaths in the nursing homes and the veterans homes. Dr. Martin Koldorf is with me right now, member of the Barrington, co-author of the Great Barrington Declaration. His latest editorial, Harvard Tramples the Truth. When it came to debating COVID lockdowns, Veritas was not the university's guiding principle. So this was amazing. As part of your piece here at City Journal, when the Great Barrington Declaration came out, a prominent Harvard epidemiologist publicly called the declaration an extreme fringe view, equating it with exorcism to expel demons. A member of Harvard's Center for Health and Human Rights, who had argued for school closures, accused you of trolling and having idiosyncratic politics, falsely alleging that you were enticed with money from the Koch brothers, cultivated by right-wing think tanks, and you won't debate anybody. They accuse you of not wanting to debate anybody when you were actually looking to debate people, and go on from there.
Yeah, so there were two colleagues of mine at Harvard that wanted to arrange a debate, and I said, of course, yes. But they were never able to pull it through because there was nobody on the other side who were willing to do it. Also, when 98 faculty members at Stanford, they wrote an open letter attacking Scott Atlas for pseudoscience, completely nonsense without any single example that they brought up. I wrote a letter to the editor to Stanford Daily, which is the student-run newspaper at Stanford, offering to debate any of them. But none of these 98 faculty members were willing to do so.
And then, of course, vaccine mandates. I mean, the idea that you're going to mandate vaccines. And I remember at the time, you know, Senator Rand Paul, who's a doctor, he was out there saying, look, I had COVID. I shouldn't have to have a vaccine. And then we had the vaccine mandate in the United States of America, vaccine mandates all around the place. And people lost jobs, people lost their livelihoods, people lost their access to freedom. I mean, because of these mandates, and it didn't stop the transmission of COVID. There were a lot of issues with that, and there was no scientific rationale for it. But if you were against it, as you were, again, you were accused of wanting to kill people.
Yeah, so it's very unscientific and unethical. So you had, for example, nurses. They were working in 2020 to the care of COVID patients. Some of them got infected, so they were home for a few weeks, and then they get back to work and taking care of more COVID patients. But then when the vaccine comes, some hospital or university bureaucrats will decide that they need to get the vaccine, even though they already have superior immunity. And then those who didn't were fired. That's highly unscientific. And when universities do that, when the university presidents make those, put in those mandates, that's like having them questioning whether the earth is flat or round. We have known about natural immunity or infection acquired immunity for 2,500 years, which is the same amount of time that we have known that the earth is round.
Well, listen, I appreciate you speaking out. I appreciate your courage. It's just, you know, now that we have all the research telling us that not only did COVID lockdowns not make a dent, it didn't really accomplish anything to help people avoid dying from COVID. The economic, societal consequences with between our children and income and everything else, I mean, have been catastrophic. And we will be feeling it for generations. And all this, yeah, this research has come to light now.
Yeah, so there is the test for children, the test scores have gone down in the U.S., not in Sweden, which kept the schools open. We have bad outcomes now for cancer and cardiovascular disease and mental health. And we're going to live with this for a few decades.
Dr. Martin Kulldorff, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate your courage, sir, and we hope to have you back on the show again very soon.
I hope so, and thank you for having me.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show, brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center, grandhotelcapemay.com.
Grand Hotel of KMA.com, my happy place, and the sponsor of our 5 o'clock happy hour. I can't wait to go there and have a cocktail very, very soon. We'll be there for our live show Friday, May 3rd. Friday, May 3rd. Mark your calendar. There's no excuses. I'm giving you plenty of time to get there. Plenty of time right now. So take a moment and mark off Friday, May 3rd. You are spending it with me in Cape May, 3 to 7 p.m. All right? Do that now. The Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, my happy place, and our sponsor of the Grand Hotel Happy Hour. All right, we got other things to talk about, and we don't have a lot of time to do it. So let's get to it, right? Let's get right into it here. I have another story here today, which I wanted to share with you from my formerly pepperoni-stained fingers. And now I can't find it because I have the attention span of a gnat. And where is it? What was the one I wanted to bring up? What was the story I wanted to bring up? Now I can't remember.
Oh, well, I know. I don't know.
Come on.
What was it?
I don't.
Not mind readers over here.
Subject matter. I can find it on the show sheet.
No, I'm in the show sheet right now, and I'm looking at it. There was a story that really caught my eye, and I wanted to bring it up. It really caught my eye, and now I can't find it. You put so much stuff in here. That's the problem.
Yeah, there was a lot today.
You have a lot in here. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Where is it? McDonald's to sell Krispy Kreme donuts? No, I don't
love
care
that.
About that.
Okay. What? Why are you excited about that? Krispy Kreme donuts, good. McDonald's, good. Great combination.
I mean, the next step for that is to make a burger where the buns
I'll eat
are
it.
Krispy Kreme donuts.
I'm there.
You have no taste, no class, nothing. Oh, this is the story. A Texas man named literally anybody else is running for president. This is the greatest story ever. So his name, he changed his name. This guy changed his name to anybody else, and he's now running for president. He changed his name to literally anybody else. He went to court and changed his name. A Texas man, this guy's my hero, says he believes anybody else should be president. Because you know why he's my hero? Because he's putting his money where his mouth is. A lot of people just say stuff like all these people that are like, oh, if Trump wins, I'm moving to Canada. You know, they never move. We're stuck with them, all these celebrities. This guy is putting his money where his mouth is and literally changed his name.
His first name is literally anybody, and his last name is Else, yeah, according to the driver's license.
He went to court to legally change his name and get his name on the ballot. He checked the Tarrant County court records, and they did. The media checked and verified the man's name change. So his driver's license, which I'm looking at right now, it says Else, literally anybody. Like, that's his name. Else, literally anybody. Now, he's not going to get on the ballot, though. That's the only problem, because he needs 113,000 signatures from registered voters in Texas who didn't vote in the Republican and Democrat presidential primaries this month. And Else's further challenge is compounded when you think of there's 50 states, and he would need 800 signatures in New Jersey. He would need 219,000 in California. That's why literally anybody else is hoping voters would write in his name instead. So if people write in his name, literally anybody else, he could pull off an Electoral College win. I'm just saying, I know you're doubting me after my bold declaration, my Zioli declaration, that Doug Burgum was going to be the next president of the United States. And I know you're doubting me, but I'm calling it right here, right now. Literally anybody else is going to be, he's going to win.
Hey, a nice social media campaign will do you wonders.
Right? Literally anybody else is going to win.
He's a veteran, too.
He's what?
He's a veteran, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's got everything it takes. I mean, the guy is perfect for us. Do you have that Sonny Hostin clip? Did I send you that?
No, but I can find it.
She accused a black author who was arguing for a colorblind America of being used as a pawn by the right.
Yeah, I think it was Coleman Hughes.
Coleman Hughes, yeah. You can grab that for me. Literally anybody else. What I admire about the guy is he put his money where his mouth is. He's like, I don't like anyone who's running. I'm going to change my name and put it on the ballot. I just respect that, because I hate people that are just talk. You know, Henry, all these celebrities, I'm moving to Canada. I'm moving to Australia. If Trump wins, they didn't go anywhere. They stayed right here, and they bothered us for years.
It's a refreshing change of pace. I know I wouldn't do that.
Exactly. So, I mean, literally anybody else. Can we get literally anybody else on the show? Yeah, I'm serious. Let's reach out to him.
We can, yeah.
Literally anybody else is the man's name. I will do my part to help him become the next president of the United States
of
America.
Give him a platform. Let's do it.
We'll give him a national platform. I don't think Trump would be mad at me for that. I have a feeling he's not going to really lose much sleep over this. But I think
dark
it could be
horse.
Very entertaining.
If literally anybody else picked you to be his running mate, would you accept?
No, but I would join the ticket of literally anybody else. But not this guy. So, you know. And I'm holding, and Tulsi should hold out hope as well. Tulsi, don't go with literally anybody else. Please, don't do it.
I was nervous the other day when you told her to hold out for the Trump ticket. And yeah, it was like less than 24 hours before RFK Jr. was going to announce his running mate, and we weren't sure if it was actually going to be her or Nicole Shanahan.
Oh, before you play that clip, by the way, I love this. So, yeah, I said the other day when I was on Jimmy, did you guys know I was on Jimmy Fallon's Saturday Night Show?
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, so Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon, I was on there Saturday night. Have you seen it yet? No, you still haven't watched it.
I haven't seen it.
You're such a freaking traitor.
I was out on Saturday night, so I couldn't watch it live.
Sancta Traitorous. I'm bringing that nickname back for you, Matt.
My dad watched it. He said you were great.
Tell your dad I said thank you.
I will.
Tell you, this is why you are the lesser DeSantis, for that very reason. Well, we made a joke about Biden being a baby, and it kind of goes with this, right? I've never seen this before. They play orchestra music to drown Biden out when he starts talking to the press. Well, he couldn't help himself this time around, because Barack Obama started talking to the press. So the real president on Air Force One starts speaking to everybody. And then Corinne Jean-Pierre freaked out. They like freaked out because they were going to find out that he's really the president. And they didn't want people to know, like, oh, my God, an articulate person speaking, because they would never let Joe Biden ever. So 12-second clip shared by Twitter, Corinne Jean-Pierre yelling off the record before Obama appears just to say hello. They're terrified of what they're going to ask him. Like, are you here because you're really running the country, sir? That's what that's what the question was going to be. I guarantee it. Here, cut one.
You all? I want to make sure we are all aware that this is off the record. Off the record, off the record, off the record.
How's it going, everybody?
Okay. She's very nervous. Don't ask the real president any questions, people. Don't ask the real president any questions, all right? Okay, so here's Sonny Hostin arguing with. Now, you know this guy, Matt, the guy that she's arguing with?
Coleman Hughes, yeah.
He is a of the describe him for us if you would.
I don't know that much about him. I believe he writes for the New York Times occasionally. I want to say he has something to do with Columbia University as well. He's not conservative. He's independent.
Well, he's at the Manhattan Institute.
Oh, he's at the Manhattan Institute.
Yeah, so I mean, if he's a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, he's pretty. He's definitely on more of my side of the political aisle. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. So. He has a
and he argued against reparations. I remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember he argued against reparations in front of the Congress. I remember that. Oh yeah, he's written for the New York Times, the American Spectator, Wall Street Journal, National Review. He's definitely on our side of the aisle.
Free Press, the Barry Weiss publication. I know he has a lot of his more recent pieces published there as well.
Hughes says he formerly believed the premise of Black Lives Matter. But he now believes that the existence of racial bias and deadly shootings has not survived scrutiny once factors other than race are taken into account. And he cited research from a number of other people. He also once gave a TED talk where he talked about the idea of being colorblind, the idea of defending the idea of color blindness. And this is back in 2023, explained his perspective on treating people without regard to race, both personally and in public policy. His talk encountered criticism from the group TED and a group named Black TED, and they wanted to try to cancel him after that. So we should ask Wilfred Riley about him tomorrow, and if, assuming Dr. Riley joins us again, which I hope he does. But this is Coleman Hughes arguing his point and then getting argued shot down by Sonny Hostin on The View. Take a listen.
Your argument for color blindness, I think, is something that the right has co-opted. And so many in the Black community, if I'm being honest with you, because I want to be, believe that you are being used as a pawn by the right and that you're a charlatan of sorts.
He's not a Republican.
So how do you...
You've
said that you're a conservative.
No, you did.
You actually said that in a podcast that you did 2 weeks ago.
I said I was a conservative.
Yes, you did. So, but my question to you, is, how do you respond to those critics?
Okay, let's let him answer.
I think it's very important. The quote that you just pointed out about doing something special for the Negro. That's from the book Why We Can't Wait that I just mentioned.
Yes.
A couple paragraphs later, he lays out exactly what that something special was.
Yes.
And it was the Bill of Rights for the Disadvantaged, a broad class-based policy.
But he also says you must include race.
No, he didn't. He says it's
he does.
Okay, well, everyone should go read the book Why We Can't Wait. Let's not get sidetracked by that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've been co-opted by anyone. I've only voted twice, both for Democrats. Mm-hmm. Although I'm an independent, I would vote for a Republican, probably a non-Trump Republican if they were compelling. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any evidence I've been co-opted by anyone, and I think that that's an ad hominem tactic people use to not address really the important conversations we're having here. And I think it's better, and it would be better for everyone if we stuck to the topics rather than make it about me.
I want to give you the opportunity to respond to the the criticism.
I appreciate it. There's no evidence that I've been co-opted by anyone. I have an independent podcast. Mm-hmm. I work for CNN as an analyst. Mm-hmm. I write for the Free Press. I'm independent in all of these endeavors, and no one is paying me to say what I'm saying. I'm saying it because I feel it.
Your argument for...
The problem is, if you don't give the argument that there's systemic racism and blacks are on the plantation and then they don't have the chance to compete and succeed and everything, then the left won't accept that. They will not accept that because it's not what they keep pushing. Like, for example, I'll talk about this a little bit later, but San Francisco is now pushing reparations. You can't push reparations if somebody like Coleman Hughes or Wilfred Riley is able to convincingly argue that black people in this country have every chance to succeed and that they are not being held down by systemic racism. So that's why the left keeps pushing it, because the greater goal here for them, of course, is to transform this country into a Marxist socialist utopia, which, of course, would be a hellhole. And yes, he was quoting a book written by Martin Luther King Jr., and Sonny Hostin had a problem with that. Because, remember, Dr. King was all about colorblindness. Now you can't be colorblind. That's racist now. That if you're colorblind now, that's considered racist. Did you do your stupid Odyssey training on your unconscious bias?
I'm way behind on those.
Okay, so when you do, the first question they ask you is, do you have unconscious bias? I checked no, and I thought I was done. I had no idea. I had 45 minutes of... Wrong answer. So, and here's a little pro tip for you. Whether you check no or you check yes, you're still in for the long haul. Although I think I might have been punished for checking no. I thought I was one and done. Do you have unconscious bias? Nope. Wrong answer. Settle down and strap in. You got a good 45, 50 minutes ahead of you. We're going to tell you how you have tons of, you're all unconscious bias and you have no idea about it. That's literally what happened. And then if you say, I believe it should be colorblind. It's a wrong answer. That's a wrong answer. You're racist for having that idea. You have to look at people's color. You can't judge them by the content of their character. That's now racist. That's in the training. I'm telling you. That's in the training. So you got to do the training. You know what? Try this, by the way. I tell you what. Do the training, and when they ask you the first question is, do you have unconscious bias? Check yes. And maybe they'll be like, good. Okay, you're done.
It's a trick question.
Yeah, it's a trick question. You're right. Everybody does. On second thought, sit here for 50 minutes, and let's try to re-educate you on why unconscious bias is bad, you have it, and all the reasons why you're a horrible human being. For 45, 50 minutes. And then it ends with a test. And basically the test, I'll give you a little cheat sheet. The question is, do you suck as a human being? You just have to check yes. And then you've passed the test. All right?
Thank you.
That's your DEI. You're welcome. You still have to do it, though, to get your Odyssey check marks or whatever it is. I'm just saying. We'll talk more about DEI as well. We got a lot to chat about today. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in. When will Biden go to Baltimore? That's the question. He's in New York right now, tying up traffic. The former president and future president Donald Trump was there attending a funeral for a fallen New York City police officer. Biden is doing a fundraiser tonight, so it's gridlock in Manhattan. When is he going to go to Baltimore? You should remember it took him 378 days to visit East Palestine, Ohio. And the only way they were able to get him to go was to tell him that he was going to Palestine and that it would help him with Democrat voters. They left out the East part. Cut number five.
Any update on when the president would go to Baltimore?
I don't have an update for you. Obviously, we want to do it when it is the appropriate time on the ground. We're going to continue to have conversations with, officials on the ground to get a sense of what their needs are, but we want to make sure that we do not disrupt their efforts. You just heard from the Secretary and the Vice Admiral, this is a major, major undertaking, and so we don't want to get in the way. But you heard from the President. He wants to get there as quickly as he can.
Didn't they hammer George Bush for not going to New Orleans fast enough? And he said the same thing. He said, I don't want to get in the way of the rescue operation. And didn't Kanye West say George Bush hates black people?
Yeah, him and Mike Myers.
Mike Myers didn't say it.
Well, Mike Myers didn't say it.
No, Mike Myers stood there and was like, whoa, dude, don't associate me with this guy.
And then it pans to Chris Tucker, and Chris Tucker's like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
The drive from D.C. to Baltimore can't be more than 45, 50 minutes.
Well, it depends on traffic, but I'm pretty sure they can just take a helicopter.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Marine One can make that trip pretty easily.
Not a major undertaking.
No. And then you land him, and he looks at it, and he waves, and he gets back in. The problem is that the height change affects the Depends. Did you know that?
Ugh.
The Depends that he wears, when you go to a higher altitude, it starts to drain. Like it drains the Depends. True story. It's why when Reagan, we have to change her before she gets on the airplane. The altitude shift. That's the reason. So
I would have thought it'd been there's stairs in the helicopter. And...
Well, there are three stairs, and he can't walk up the stairs. So and the stair lift, it's not big enough to put in the chair. So that may be the real issue right there. They should just carry him on a hand truck. and then put him in the cargo hold. You know what I mean? Just wheel him in. All right,
Hannibal
listen.
Lecter?
This is, yeah, like Hannibal Lecter, exactly. Exactly. And put a muzzle on him while you're at it. All right, now listen. If you want to de-stress, enjoy life, and take in the ocean air and make lifetime memories with your family and friends, then please book a getaway at my happy place, the beautiful Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Book a June midweek stay right now and save. You stay three nights, you're going to get $60 a night in resort credit. Stay five nights and get $70 a night. Stay seven nights and receive $80 a night in resort credit. Use your resort credits to make purchases of food and beverage purchases in Hemingway's restaurant, the outdoor pool bar, or the beach concession, or in the gift shop where you can get passes for a whale watching boat cruise. Book direct with them for the best rates, and trust me, they will give you the best rates when you book direct. The Grand is the perfect place to host a wedding, corporate event, baby and bridal shower. With four ballrooms, they have the perfect space to make lifetime memories. Just call and ask and talk to my friend Caitlin about how they can help you have your dream event. To book your stay today at the beautiful Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, call 1-800-257-8550. 800-257-8550 or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com. And I hope to see you there Friday, May 3rd for our first live show of the year. grandhotelcapemay.com. My happy place, grandhotelcapemay.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Zioli Show, on your schedule, from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All righty, it is Thursday, and we got a lot to chat about, so glad you're here today, 855-839-1210. Thank you for being here. It is a busy one, as it always seems to be every single day these days. I'm just making sure that I can do this. There we go. Okay. Big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. You deserve a perfect smile. A smile lights up the room, and there's no one better than Dr. Mike Veneria to give you that perfect smile. VeneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. So the question that I was having before on Twitter with Johnny Cook about immigration being the issue, and I disagree with him. I think actually this time around, immigration is a huge issue. And the reason why is because in the past, it was really something that just affected the border. But now it's everywhere. Ever since Greg Abbott started loading buses with illegal immigrants and asylum seekers and started sending them all across the country. I'll give you an example. I'm not saying Massachusetts is going to go red, but Massachusetts is burning $75 million a month on shelters and may soon run out of cash amid their migrant crisis. I think the difference is in the past, it may not have been the issue that you think it was because it didn't affect everybody. But now we're living in a time where everybody's it's a border state. Everybody is a border state or border city, depending on where you are. So that's the difference, I think, right there. And I think it's a big deal. It really is. It's a big deal. The other thing too that I want to mention is don't discount the fact that in everything we're talking about with the economy and how it impacts people and how it impacts everybody, this issue of you not doing as well as you were under Trump. I mean, it's a side-by-side comparison now. That's something else that people don't realize. We have not had a presidential contest in this country since the year 1912, where two people who have both done the job are running for the job. And you can actually do a side-by-side comparison of both of these people. That's something we've never had before. And I can't overemphasize that enough for you, because I think when you do the side-by-side comparison and people go, all right, look, I didn't like Trump in 2020 for his tweets or whatever, but I like things were better under Trump. And that's the difference. And that's what they're going to vote on. That's how I see it going. That's what I see. Now, the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, actually is trying to argue that Biden's priority is getting the cost of living down and lowering energy prices. Right. So Biden, who has now done everything he possibly can to stop drilling permits from going forward, he put on a ban on liquid natural gas exports. And now the EPA, with this EV mandate, is essentially going to destroy gas powered vehicles. We can't afford it. We cannot afford what the EPA is trying to do. I hope you understand that. There's a great piece on this that I saw. It was asking the question, can we power the EPA's EV fantasy? The overhaul of electrical grids and distribution would require labor and resources we don't have. So everything that they're pushing right now at the EPA, our electric grid can't handle it. Our electric grid cannot handle it with the environment, with the EV mandate that they're pushing and the way they're trying to make gas-powered vehicles illegal. It doesn't work. EVs are a niche project used mostly by high-income white urban consumers with garages. Electric cars accounted for just shy of 8% of new auto sales last year. And forget all the other things about them with Chinese car companies and batteries and everything, and the fact that they blow up. And there is another wild card that nobody's talking about. Widespread adoption of EVs will require an unprecedented and staggeringly expensive expansion of local electrical grids. This is going to require a huge increase in the production of electrical transformers, along with more power plants and transmission lines to produce and deliver energy. Nobody ever talks about that. The overhaul must include upgrading local grid distribution at the roughly 3,000 electric utilities across the country. The wires, poles, and transformers that line our streets. There are 60 million to 80 million distribution transformers in neighborhoods designed for the existing loads. Around 1 million new ones are sold annually, two-thirds of which replace aged-out transformers. But that replacement rate is not close to meeting the EPA's dreams. Millions more and heavier transformers will be needed to handle higher power levels and more frequent use, even if many EVs are charged overnight. This will also require replacing many of the existing utility poles because they won't be able to handle the extra weight of the new transformers that are going to be needed to handle the capacity of the EVs. On an individual level, millions of homes and apartment complexes will need electrical upgrades to accommodate at-home chargers. Consumers and taxpayers will pay for that multi-billion dollar price tag, whether through taxes or higher utility rates. Electricians will need to install new circuits for EV chargers, and many older homes will need new power panels to handle increased demand. That's right. On-road fueling will still be needed, particularly for the millions of consumers without garages. Replicating the nation's some 195,000 retail gas stations will require more than 4,000 charging facilities that the Federal Highway Administration has proposed. Given the physics of electricity, thousands of these charging stations will each have the power demand of an entire town rather than that of a typical convenience store. That will mean more massive upgrades. In this case, for higher voltage grid systems and, critically, thousands of new large transmission level transformers. I'll tell you, it's a great time to be an electrician. this is the time. You know, forget going to college and getting a degree in underwater lesbian art theory. Do like my buddy Ron Capuccio, RLC Electric. He just upgraded my electric panel, and he's a member of the Zeoli Army. I know he's listening right now. I mean, I know I was a lesbian underwater art studies minor. It hasn't worked out well for me. I thought that class was different when I signed up for it.
You ended up on Fox News, though.
I did. You're right. I did. I did do that.
And you got a writing credit for Shape of Water.
Yes. That's the fish sex story, right?
Yeah.
The fish porno? Shape of Water? So let's think about the structural upgrades that'll be needed. One Energy Department study estimated some $50 billion to $125 billion in infrastructure upgrades will be needed to support EVs, composing 10% of all on-road cars. Today, they amount to less than 2%. Achieving the EPA's goal will require north of $1 trillion in grid upgrades by 2035. Money aside, transformers will be the big roadblock. Delivery of the largest utility transformers can already take several years, and overall transformer costs have risen 70%. Replacing tens of millions of distribution transformers would require massive quantities of copper, most of which would have to be imported. The process would also exceed the production capabilities of the handful of American manufacturers. The U.S. is heavily dependent on imports for large substation transformers, especially from China, itself raising obvious national security issues. Now, I don't want to suggest that China would ever do anything to co-opt our electrical grid or a ship's navigation system or planes navigation systems or anything. And I'm certainly not suggesting that. But China would totally do those things. So I'm definitely suggesting that. The unique electrical steel needed for transformers and electric motors is also in short supply, served by only one major producer, Cleveland-Cliffs. New Energy Department rules to improve transformer efficiency will require switching to even more specialized and costlier amorphous steel. Amorphous steel was my Bob Seger cover band name in college. Did you know that? We are amorphous steel. We killed it, DeVoe. Add that to a shrinking labor force that can build and install this specialized hardware. The EPA's architects apparently believe there's a magic wand to fix all this. EV advocates suggest that the mandates will induce market forces that will solve the attendant challenges. That's a novel and dubious theory of innovation. It's going to be a mess. It's another green fantasy that's going to be a mess. But here is the Secretary of the Treasury, America's grandmother, slash serial killer. She skins. That's why she's got the nickname Buffalo Bill. No, she just sounds like him. She's not really a serial killer. I got to clarify that so I don't get sued. She doesn't skin her kills. She just sounds like the guy who does. This is her with Andrea Mitchell, cut number 8. No, not that one. Cut number 9. Yeah, cut number 9.
The president is indicated, and I certainly agree.
I can't even get through 5 seconds of this without thinking she sounds like Buffalo Bill.
That was like 3 seconds. That was your all-time worst.
Oh, wait. Was she a great big fat person?
I'm telling you, I can't do it. I can't. I'm going to have to mute my headphones or something.
It's not even a long clip. It's only 23 seconds. I kept it short on purpose.
I cannot get through it. That's the problem. All right, try it. Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to start it from the beginning.
Go ahead.
The president is indicated, and I certainly agree.
It rubs lotion on its skin. It does this whenever it's told.
You made it 3.8.
It rubs the lotion on its skin, or
else
it gets
the hose
again.
I'm a child. I can't get through it. All right, I'm going to do it this time. This time I can do it. Go ahead.
The president is indicated, and I certainly agree that getting the cost of living down should be a number one economic priority. And he's proposed many different ways of doing this. But one important way is by lowering energy prices and diminishing their volatility.
I did it! I'm exhausted. How long was that? 6-7 minutes?
23 seconds.
No.
You're sweating.
I'm collapsing. How? That was 23 seconds? That felt like the longest 32 minutes of my life. Wow. I can't do the other cut. I don't even know what she said. All I could do was just not listen. I just had to block it out of my head. So I don't even know what she said. What did she say?
She was saying that the Biden administration's top priority is getting the cost of living down and lowering energy prices.
I don't believe that. That's true. I believe she's, I don't believe that that's true. I don't, for something inside tells me that that's not actually the case. So what about the fact that we still have to figure out, I'll tell you what, I'm going to move over from her to Justin Trudeau because this is amazing. Now, this idiot is going to spend $8.4 million on research to understand how climate change interacts with democratic decline. Am I understanding that correctly? Is that correct?
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean? How climate change, we already know climate change is going to result in my clocks are going to be wrong. I'm going to lose a second of my life as the earth speeds up or slows down or something, right? Now it's going to democratic decline and the decline of time. All these things happening.
Yeah, I've listened to this clip, I guess, three times now, and I'm still not entirely sure what he's talking about. It's long. There's no way you're getting through the entire thing.
No way. But no way.
Let's see how far we can make it.
All right.
2024 will be the biggest election year in history, with countries representing more than half the world's population going to the polls. Unfortunately, many of these elections are unlikely to meet the criteria of what academic experts would view as free and fair. In Russia, the recent presidential
election
was...
Talk about Cuba. Why don't you bring up Cuba, where you're from? Because your dad was Fidel Castro and your mom was a swinger who played Naked Twister with him.
No. His father is Pierre Trudeau.
Damn it.
Of Canada.
Allegedly.
The Naked Twister stuff, I don't know. I can't fact check that. I don't know.
I think it's true.
I've heard the rumors, yeah.
I think it's true. I'm just saying, I think his mom brought, when she went to visit Fidel, she brought him a pineapple, upside down pineapple. That's all I'm saying.
Know what that means. I don't want to know what that means.
It's a swinger reference.
You don't know what that means?
No.
Yeah. People that have upside down pineapples on their homes, they're swingers. Oh. You've never heard that before?
No, I didn't know that.
Maybe they have a tattoo or...
Or if they have pink flamingos in the yard. That's another one I heard.
I just thought they had poor taste.
Well, I mean, except I think Florida might be the exception. I don't know.
Maybe if they're giant parrot heads, too. I guess you'd have a parrot, then.
Nah, that's more of your Jimmy Buffett, I think.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I don't know, flamingo in the yard, same vibe.
Not a swinger vibe. That's a Buffett, but they're totally
right.
Different.
No, that's what I'm saying.
This has gone off the rails. All I know is this. She played Naked Twister with Fidel.
We don't know that.
And then, 9 months later, little Justin was born. That's all we know.
We don't know that at all. You just made it up.
All right, fair enough. I made that up, but it could be true. Possible. Maybe if the Earth speeds up time like Superman did. That's what Superman sped the Earth backwards, right, to save Lois Lane in the movie. All he had to do was just melt the ice caps. See if he could go back in time. All he had to do was just melt the ice caps with his laser eyes. Exactly. And the Earth would have just slowed down and Lois Lane would still be alive today. We live in the dumbest time ever. Listen, let me tell you about my friend. 6 o'clock hour coming up. I got to get into, you're going to hear this. You're going to love this. Hunter Biden in court, what he's arguing. You're going to absolutely love this story. Hunter Biden's argument that he's being politically persecuted. You're going to love this. But listen, let me tell you about my friend, my dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria at Veneria Dental. Dr. Mike is the master of implant dentistry, the master of making you look and feel your greatest with a million-dollar smile. I recommend you book an appointment with Dr. Mike today. I've been telling you about Dr. Mike for years. My entire family goes to Dr. Veneria because the level of care and commitment to dental excellence that Dr. Mike and his staff delivers to every patient is unmatched. He's been delivering results that surpass expectations, and that has made him a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He has one of the most respected reputations among his peers as a master of dental implants. So if you've been on the fence about getting that dental procedure done, please reach out to Dr. Mike today. You have a choice, a clear choice for you and your family. So give Dr. Veneria a call. I promise you will not be disappointed. He is the best. And with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, schedule your free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Call 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or visit VeneriaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. Remember, he's the master of dental implants, and he's my dentist. VeneriaDental.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.